This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. Yesterday, there was quite a bit of money bet on the Preakness Stakes, the second race in racing's Triple Crown. And about 6 weeks ago, there was quite a bit of money spent by gamblers who were putting money down in Las Vegas sports books on the Final Four, and of course, March Madness for a month before that. And if you go back to February, there were tens of millions of dollars spent in sports books in Las Vegas by people who are getting bets down on the Super Bowl. And of course, throughout the NFL season, the NBA season, Major League Baseball, the NHL, there's all sorts of legal betting going on, but it is dwarfed by the amount of money that is illegally bet on sports in this country. And my next guest got a little bit of a piece of that because she was part of the largest illegal sports betting organization in the United States, which was run by a guy named Ron Sacco, a.k.a. Ron the Cigar. Her name is Marisa Lancaster, and she writes about her life in a brand new book called Dangerous Odds. Marisa, welcome to America Weekend.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How did you get involved in that world?
I actually met the tech guy who was rigging the phones for Ron Sacco's organization. He was rendering the calls untraceable by police. And he told me that Ron Sacco needed clerks. I volunteered, and that's how I started.
A clerk being the person who takes the bets?
That's right.
At the time,
I was the first woman to work there. And actually, when the manager found out that I was a woman, he didn't want me there. But Ron liked the novelty. His players liked that there was a female answering the telephone. And when they found that I was attractive, that was a plus for Ron.
Yeah. Did that make guys bet more? Because, I'm going to impress this woman at the other end.
Wow. I don't know about more. I was working in the big office, so we were taking on football games 10,000, basketball games 5,000. I mean, these people were many professional gamblers, so I think they enjoyed having women there, but they were more interested in just getting the numbers right, having a good line.
Where was this headquartered at the time when you first started with Ron?
We were in the Warehouse District in East Los Angeles. We were working kind of in several different offices. We were arrested. We were literally back up the next day in a new office with new 1-800 lines.
The FBI really spent a lot of time going after Ron and everyone else in the organization, including you, and you mentioned you were arrested. At one point, things got kind of picked up from the States and moved to the Dominican Republic, where sports betting was legal, right?
Yeah, in the Dominican Republic, it was legal. Our offices there, actually, we had a lawyer on staff. We had business cards. We operated out in the open. We were only taking the bets there, so all the money was still exchanging hands in the United States, and we felt very safe.
So that part about the money changing hands in the United States, that's why the FBI still came after you, even though you were functioning in a place where you had the law on your side.
Yes, we did. And after the FBI closed this down, the Dominican authorities allowed us to reopen under their protection. And of course, they got a cut of the money.
Of
course. They hid our activities from the FBI.
Of course they got a cut of the money. Now I mentioned that you've been arrested a few times. Have you done time?
2 weeks was the longest in the Dominican Republic. I spent 3 days at the offices of the Secret Service in Santo Domingo. I was under house arrest for about 6 weeks. And then the arrest in California. We had a very good lawyer. So by the time I got to Sybil Brand, bail was there. The longest that I was in prison in California was just overnight.
Wow. Now, you got into this business, as you mentioned, as the only woman in a group of guys. And I'm guessing, especially in the world of sports betting, we're talking about a testosterone-fueled world. How was
yes.
that for you as an attractive young woman?
It was an enormous amount of fun. We were a very tight-knit group. You couldn't really talk to other people and tell you what you were doing. So we tended to go to a lot of the games together afterwards. I ended up falling in love with the brains behind the operation. But it was an enormous amount of fun. You didn't feel like you were hurting anybody. I felt that we were providing a business. People were calling us. They wanted to put money on the games. It was great. It was like watching the footage of the stock market. Very adrenaline-fueled.
Yeah, it always seems odd to me when the government cracks down on what people do with their own recreational dollars. And to me, sports betting or online poker or things like that seem to be none of the government's business. I'm sure inside the building, everybody felt exactly that way. But how much fear was part of your daily life because of the law?
Well, when I first started in Los Angeles, I went to work under the impression that the LAPD was paid off, and they were for a while. It was when Ron decided to get more involved with Las Vegas that we had the sheriffs on our back. So initially, it was not an issue. And as I got deeper and deeper into it, it did not deter me. It did not deter me.
How much danger was there from the mob being involved?
I have only nice things to say about the mob. I know that's not what anybody wants to hear. When I was in Santo Domingo and the manager and Ron were doing time in Las Vegas, I was working with help from the mob. And I was never threatened by them. I was never mistreated by them. And I had no trouble leaving.
When you talk
Having said that, I'm not mentioning names, real names in the book, obviously.
Are you in hiding now?
No, I'm not. I have not been arrested in a couple of decades. I'm behaving myself. I'm in Switzerland, living here very happily, but I'm planning on promoting the book in the States. I have since been to the States. I don't envision that there's a problem with me promoting the book in the States. I think that I paid my dues, and legally, I should have no problems now.
And are you saying nice things about the mob because you don't want trouble with them when you come to the States, too?
Of course I don't want trouble with them. Of course not. Of course not. And again, just from personal experience, they were very good to me. Ron was very good to me. I've never met a more brilliant businessman as Ron Sacco.
Is what's going on today with online betting, because this still exists and it's still a multi-million dollar, if not billion dollar operation.
Billion.
Okay.
300 billion to 500 billion are bet illegally every year in America.
How much can they trace back their success to what you and Ron did?
Oh, I think we started the whole thing. We were the first to do it. Many other people followed. Costa Rica became the kind of head after the Dominican offices were busted. At one point, I think there were 300 bookmakers in Costa Rica, each of them having between 1 and 300 employees. It's expanded to different countries. As the Americans crack down, the bookmakers are always looking for other countries where the government will be more sympathetic. And I think, gambling is legal in so many cities and countries in the world. It's not, it doesn't seem to many of these countries like it should be a criminal activity.
Yeah, I know you can walk down the street in London, and about every other block there's a place where you can go in and place a bet on any sporting event you want. Was there ever any concern about the crossover between people betting on these games and affecting the outcome of the games in fixing them?
I'm certainly aware that it has happened. With games that we were taking. I think any good bookmaker, if they suspect that a game is being fixed, you take it off the board. You cannot guarantee, no matter how hard you try, what I mean by that is players that you are paying, you can never guarantee the outcome. So bookmakers, I believe, don't want anything to do with it. If we suspected a game was fixed, it was off the boards.
Marisa Lancaster. Her book is called Dangerous Odds, My Secret Life Inside an Illegal $1 Billion Sports Betting Operation. It has just been published, and it is a fascinating read. And I thank you so much for joining me here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Paul.
Very interesting that she is living her life now in Switzerland, but is planning on coming back to the United States, and hopefully the authorities will leave her alone and let her tell her tale. I'm Paul Harris. This show is called America Weekend from the Envision Networks. America Weekend.